Hello, Sean, are you there?
I am, Tom. How are you?
Hi, great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Let me tell our listeners, Sean Morris is a union representative, service, I forgot the name of the union, I'm sorry.
UPSU, United Public Service Employees Union.
And we did a show a couple weeks ago about Pine Haven and the threat to its existence. Well, I was wondering if you could update us on what's happened since that show. I know there's been a couple of good things as well as a very negative thing.
Well, I think, you know, the union and the members of this community, including the Pine Haven workers and many people living in Columbia County, have continued our quest to, bring some ideas to the board. I've been to several meetings where I've pleaded with them to please work with us and listen to us and work for the common good, because Pine Haven is far too important to this community to just have a five-minute deal to close it. And so, you know, I thought I was making some headway, and I think we are, but I read in the paper just the other day where the chairman said that the union hasn't reached out to him, and I found that to be disingenuous. I mean, I've been to every meeting asking them to please meet with us. So finally...
So have I. I've contacted... You were talking about Pat Grattan from Kinderhook, and who is the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, and he has not really been interested in talking about it.
Well, it's hard to talk about the facts when you really don't have them all, and you're just, dead set on doing something for your own reason, and I'm not sure what the reason is. I've asked them to provide me with documentation. I've asked them what their 10% tax increase to all the residents really comes from, because we can't find it. You know, and I'll tell you what, we think we have many supervisors now listening to us, because I think we're making the correct argument. Just recently, they had a standing committee where the members voted 3-3, so it was a tie whether to go out for an RFP to look at selling it or not. And to my dismay, I was told that the chairman of the board decided he had the authority just to break the tie, and he voted on a committee that he's not even a member of. And as it stands now, we just sent a letter to them, quoting their own rules, where he don't have the right to vote. And we have our attorneys looking at that. But it's just another example. If you're willing to not even read your own rules and break your own rules for the purpose of doing what you want to do, what kind of message does that send? How much diligence are they doing really looking at Pine Haven and its true numbers? I'm concerned that that's not really happening.
Yeah.
So well, that's where we stand with that.
The subcommittee voted to look into privatization. That was their final vote, correct?
Well, it wasn't the subcommittee. In my understanding, it was the mental health or the health and medical committee.
I see.
And you know, look, I have some understanding of government and how it works. And my understanding is the subcommittee doesn't vote anyway. It's supposed to provide recommendations to a standing committee.
Right.
The standing committee voted 3-3. So therefore, there's not a majority. So the RFP should not have went out, or at least. It should not go out with any kind of favorable recommendation from the standing committee.
And RFP stands for?
Our request for proposals.
Right.
And so from the audience, the chairman decides that he's going to cast the vote to break the tie. And that's the kind of politics that happens when you have meetings at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and the public ain't there, and you're thinking that you can just do what you want, that it's your government. Well, it's the government of the people, and there's rules that have to be followed, and I think he broke his own rules, and our attorneys have filed a letter with him letting him know that if they don't cease and desist and not move forward until there's a fair and accurate majority vote, then we'll take legal action if that's necessary.
So that the issue there is whether the chairman of the Board of Supervisors has a vote on every committee? Isn't that sort of a...
Well, absolutely. What happens is in the rules that are adopted by their own Board of Supervisors, it clearly states that unless you're a member of the standing committee, you cannot vote. The chairman is an ad hoc member. You know, he's a member of every committee by virtue of his office. But it clearly states that he can't vote. He's a non-voting member unless he is a member of that standing committee, which he's not. So, again, it's just... I'm going to do what I want, and it doesn't matter what the rules say. you know, we're asking him not to do that. We're asking him to step back, take a look, listen to us. Let's not go out there to the newspaper and say the union hasn't reached out when we've had five demonstrations and I've been to every meeting.
And this hasn't really divided along party lines, has it? I mean, I noticed our own Hudson Democrat, Sarah Sterling, voted to recommend privatization.
Well, listen, it doesn't go by party lines. Politics sometimes is, politics makes strange bedfellows, and not everybody votes by facts. Sometimes you get part of a clique and you all do things together, and that's probably the worst part of government. I think there's some very sincere, intelligent members of the Board of Supervisors that want facts, because they don't want to just close their nursing home. They want facts. Others seem to just accept the facts of the guy in charge, and they just follow suit. We're hoping that the people who really want the facts will be the majority, and once they see the facts and understand the devastation it would bring to this county and to the residents of this county who are the sickest, the poorest, and those who really need the government, they'll make the right decision. And so there goes the uphill battle. We're fighting against one side that wants facts, one side that seems to just neglect the facts, neglect their own rules, and just want to do what they want to do. And that's why government's hard to fight, but we're going to put our best foot forward and keep marching.
Two things about it. They talk about a 10% tax increase, and what they mean by that, I think, is that they're suggesting that the uncovered part of the expense of Pine Haven would have to be just sort of a new expense that they'd have to raise through taxes. I guess your argument is, first of all, where do they come up with that figure? Because I assume what you're saying is that it doesn't have to necessarily be a tax increase.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And first of all, it doesn't necessarily have to be a tax increase. My understanding, listening to Ron Campanaro at one of the meetings, they suggested that they raise taxes a few years ago to cover some of the cost of Pine Haven. Well, once you raise taxes, it's put right into the tax base. You don't raise them again. You've already raised them once to cover that money.
Uh-huh.
So that's a little concerning to me. Secondly, you know, they project that they would only get $1.6 million in the IGT funds. We sort of argued.
That was my next question. By the way, what does IGT stand for?
Well, it's the Intergovernmental Transfer. It's funds to help public sector facilities. I mean, it's a complicated formula, but for the purpose of this conversation, it's federal and state money given to the government nursing home to help it operate.
And it was an increase recently, correct?
Well, almost $1 million.
Wow.
Okay? And so all of their arguments that they're trying to, you know, bring to the public and have them use scare tactics are not coming to fruition. Again, we got $2.5 million in IGT. We believe, or $2.6 million, let me say $2.6. We know that IGT funds ain't going away anytime soon. There's no indication that they are. We know the capital component, if they build this nursing home, will only cost them, you know, $3 to $4 million over 25 years. They're not making arguments based on facts. What they're doing is just taking the facts and twisting them the way they want people to perceive them. And the reality is, they don't even know, and they haven't even spent the time. If Pine Haven was to close, they would still be on the hook for almost as much as they're saying it costs them to keep it open as it would be if they closed it. So the money doesn't go away. Some of the arguments that they make, you know, the money that's spent charged to Pine Haven for other department use, for example, IT costs, HR costs, that doesn't go away.
Nor do our elderly, obviously.
Nor do our elderly, which is the most important part of this whole argument.
Mm-hmm.
And nor does the cost of their health care. And there's a lot of legacy costs that will continue on forever. 10% contribution that they have to make on the Medicaid. When you add all those figures, you may be arguing over less than $1 million of monies that are coming into Pine Haven, and they want to close the place over less than $1 million. They're spending $4 million on the jail. They're spending $1 million on roads. They're buying schools for $1.5 million and selling them on the market for $700,000. There's a lot that has to be questioned. And
I don't think anybody in the county government is very proud of that move.
Well, I think there's a lot of things. Let me tell you two things that I don't know if I brought up to you, but number one, they're looking at Pine Haven, who is an enterprise fund. So They have their own accounts. It's their own money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
At one of the meetings, Mr. Campanaris said, well, all of the costs that were associated to looking at building a new home was done through the bond, a bond act, where it was bonded out. And that wasn't true. Pine Haven gave up almost a little more than $500,000 that they took out of the Pine Haven fund. There was a water tower that was needed repairs. Now, although Pine Haven gets the revenue, you know, fixing the water tower should be something that the county does, but they took $200,000+ out of the Pine Haven account. Hmm. There's a thing called GASB 45, and what that really is it's more of an accounting thing. And I'll tell you the truth, it's really more about the millionaires on Wall Street so they can have a better idea how they're investing their money. And it's required to have a report put in by the county. Well, the county failed to put the report in on a timely manner, and Pine Haven lost $400,000 due to the fines of the county failing to do that. When you start adding up all that money, it's hard to make the argument Pine Haven's got no money in their accounts because you took it from them. And then you have the tenacity to say, well, they ain't got no money. Well, yeah they got no money because you took it from them. And, you know, the IGT fund that got this year, the $2.5 million, $2.6 million, they're going to take that back to pay down the loan that they give Pine Haven for operational needs. And you start looking at all that, you realize it's not as much money in the scheme of a $100-plus million budget than they make it out to be. So there's something else behind this.
So some of the budgetary arguments for those who want to privatize are really sort of accounting things that have happened in the past.
For example, this GASB 45, okay? Mm-hmm. They make it out to say, well, we got to pay GASB 45, and this is an expense. Well, that's not true, and it's not being portrayed true. What it is, it's a liability that looks out 25, 30 years of what could be your cost to pay for the health care and other benefits that employees receive. But as you and I know, as time goes on, there's changes to that. So that flexes all the time. In the past, we paid as we go. Somebody who works with Wall Street decides there's a plan that's better so that they can have a better forecast of how much money they're going to let people borrow and how mm-hmm. much money they can make back and what's the liabilities. And they come up with this this GASB 45. And I can tell you there's some states out there that are suing over it because they find it to be a more trickery than it is reality.
So what about the argument that the county's Moody rating went down because of the Pine Haven finances?
Well, you know, first of all, I didn't say it went down because of the Pine Haven. They mentioned Pine Haven in there as something that they have to look at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And like I said last time I was on your show, Pine Haven receives a taxpayer contribution over the last 2 years to help offset some costs. And there's a lot of reasons that they needed that help, one of them being, you know, shorter, the patient's 120-bed facility is running a little short. A lot of that has to do with the fear of putting somebody in here while you're talking about closing it. I know if I have a loved one, I wouldn't want to put him in a nursing home that maybe he's going to close or be private where I didn't want him to be in the first place. That's mm-hmm. why I sought out a different option. So there's a lot of reasons. But think of this. Everything that they fund with a taxpayer dollar could have the same argument made. I can argue the Board of Supervisors who pay themselves and their office is losing money because it's 100% tax dollars. The jail is losing money because it's 100% tax dollars. Every time we pave a road, are we losing money? No. We're paying for a service. So their argument is weak. It could be made on anything that's paid. I looked at some of the jobs. They've hired some pretty you know, high-paying jobs over the last few months. So it doesn't look like money's the issue to me. There's some other driving force behind it, and, you know, I think the chairman is really pushing really hard, and I don't think he's given everybody the opportunity to examine it, look at the facts. And when you cast a vote from the audience onto a committee and you don't even know your own rules, that would make me think, does he really care, or is he even really taking the time to examine the numbers, or is he just taking somebody else's word for it? So there's a lot at stake, and you don't move this quick when there's such an important decision to be made. And if they do that, I think it's detrimental to the county. And I think the word I get from everybody that I see who live in this county is saying the same thing, keep Pine Haven open.
Yeah, certainly they've won the sign war.
Well, you know, signs are people. I won't say the name, but there was a supervisor who said he didn't care about signs, and he didn't care about who signed petitions. He only cared about those people who pay the taxes. Well, I can tell you this. I lived in a rental property for a long time, and every time the taxes went up, my rent went up. So you don't have to own a house. You don't have to just be a renter. And these are voters. These are people that vote. And a lot of renters are the people who rely on these type of jobs just to be able to keep their head above the water. They're not thinking about the residual of people losing their jobs, people going on the welfare rolls. They're not thinking about any of those things. They're just blinded. And I say they, I'm going to say the chairman, because I've talked to some of the supervisors, and they're very interested in hearing us. But some of them are just blinded by wanting to make a decision. And I don't know if it's ego, because I can, or it's something else, but I think it's a bad choice, and I think the voters and I think the people are watching what takes place.
Well, thanks, Sean, for calling in. I want to keep our listeners updated on this story, so we'll probably be talking to you again. I'd love to talk to somebody from the other side, but they've been reluctant.
Well, I would hope that the listeners of your show are interested in hearing the facts, and I hope that what they would do is send an email or write to their supervisor telling to save Pine Haven, or they can go to www.savepinehaven.com, sign our petition, which is well over 5,000 people between our online and our paper petitions, and we're just going to continue to move forward. So thank you for your interest, and keeping Pine Haven open is vital to this county. It really is, and it would be a devastation to this county if anything else happens. Thank you.
We've been talking to Sean Morse, who is the union rep for the union employees at Pine Haven.